back with episode 828 of The Critical Myth. I'm John Kirkus, and tonight we have...
This is Gary from Jacksonville, and well, I talked about show discussion the last show. We really didn't get into much, so hopefully in this final show for the week, we'll get our chance.
That's right. Now, quick programming note. Yes, we had 3 episodes this week. That's awesome. We're taking another week off after this. I am traveling, so it is going to be almost impossible for me to get episodes in next time. But 2 weeks from now, we will be back with another group of episodes, because shows are going to start getting start piling up. Of course, we'll have the new Star Trek show to talk about. We'll have the Inhumans. We'll have a few other shows that are coming back. And going to be coming back full swing, but it will be 2 weeks minimum from now. So any other programming notes from you, Gary?
I'm trying to catch up. I know I'm a little behind on Lost Ship, so I plan to catch up on that before we get back. So
there you go. That's the other nice thing about this relatively slight schedule in the weeks to come, is that we have an opportunity to catch up, especially since we don't feel the need to be on every episode every week. So
yes,
it actually helps us as well. That said, we are going to go ahead and jump into episodic discussion. We have 3 weeks worth of shows that we can talk about. And before we get into the main event, Gary, was there anything that you wanted to delve into? Like, for instance, a show that came to an abrupt end?
Well, yes, there was, but just on the slim chance that someone isn't quite up to date, I would like to throw in our standard spoiler reference.
It's been 3 weeks. I guess you're right, though. Go ahead.
Anyway, just so you're aware that as we're discussing these episodes, we don't hold back and we'll discuss anything that's happened before or perhaps even happened since this episode. And so we want to warn you that you could be spoiled, but more than likely you'll just enjoy our witty conversation on the topic. However, if you do not want to be spoiled, you might want to pause us till you have a chance to catch up.
That's right. And as I said then, okay, Gary, now you can go ahead and get into the discussion as I step away and try to clear my nasal cavities.
Okay, John, that sounds good. I guess what John was hinting to was, of course, the series finale of Dark Matter, Season 3, Episode 13, Nowhere to Go. For the little teaser, alliances shift, secrets are revealed, and the past becomes present in this third season ending quest to prevent intergalactic war. Now, as I've talked about on an earlier show this week, this show has been officially announced that it will not be picked up and continued. So it is over, done, finished. Yes, there is, of course, the obligatory bring back Dark Matter, and it just does not seem to be gathering enough steam where I'm concerned that it's or hopeful that it will ever return. That being said, we had a lot of stuff go down in this last episode. It's we had the gosh, and all the name escapes me at the moment, but we had the I think it was 5 loses Empire, and now he's looks like he was going to be on the run with our Raza crew once more. We had the still the hinting that something's going on with the androids, as we saw 3's girlfriend be reanimated through into an android shell, and being told that she has some sort of plan or objective to do, and yet another teaser that will never amount to much. Then we also still have the ongoing corporate war that's going to happen, or is happening, and so we're not sure how that's going to shake out. And then we also have the flash forward issue to deal with. The writers were really sort of stacking the deck for themselves should they have ever come back to the fourth season. Just for our side note techies, we're still not quite sure about the Blake Drive. It still could come back, I suppose, and shake everything up again if they really want to. So lots of dangling plot threads that will never be answered, much to the frustration of everyone. Also, we have our own sort of mirror characters that were still floating around in the universe causing trouble as well, that we will never quite find out what's going on with. And then there was always the hint of whatever happened to One, would we ever actually get to see him again? So a lot of frustrating questions that will never quite be answered for us is the sort of the best way that I can wrap that show up. I won't say that the cancellation wasn't completely deserved, but at the same time, I thought they had tremendous ideas that might have been able to get carried through and bring the show up next season. Alas, that's not to be anymore, so we'll just have to you know, appreciate what we had for as long as we had before a, I believe it was a 4-issue comic book miniseries to have gotten this many seasons was already a very nice extension throughout this universe. So I'm just grateful. I'll miss some of the actors. I thought they really started to, at least a few of them really started to develop, and I would have liked to seen where they would have ended up a little bit further down the road. John, you don't watch the show at all, so at least so yeah. I you can't comment that much. But yeah, I agree. A lot of the characters weren't fleshed out. A few of them were. I wish the android's performance as an android had been more captivating. However, when she once she had her emotions subroutines put in, I thought the actress really did significantly better, and I wish they had decided to actually go with that as opposed to the more stilted robot performance that she was forced to carry off through the series. I felt that a lot of the little character pieces they did for the series did help me identify more with some of the characters and were very helpful. Although, as I said, there's this sort of overarching storyline that they wanted to have that never wanted to quite flush out. For all intents and purposes, this is a show that really never left its sort of ship in the bottle formula, no matter how much they sort of pushed at it. It never succeeded outside of that bubble. And I was saddened by that, but that was the limitation of the show for me.
Now, what kind of possibility do you think there is for there to be a, say, comic book extension of this story?
That would, to me, and I've mentioned it a few times to other people as well, that would be, for me, would sort of be full circle on this and really apropos that, you know, from whence you come is whence you return. And that they started off as that, and they, if they could finish as that and pick up any one of the plot lines, although obviously sort of a android rebellion, it wouldn't quite be, maybe not original, so... I'd love to actually see them flesh out the blink drive issue perhaps a little bit more. The corporate war doesn't quite interest me unless they have some sort of twist that I did not see as it was going on. So I hope they can manage that. I think it'd be possible. But as far as any extra screen time, we will never see that again. So,
no, I really don't expect that. So, all these people that are hoping there's a film or something to wrap things up, I think it just needs to be...
Yes.
Understood. That's not going to happen.
Goodbye, Zyron. Yes.
Okay. So now other shows that are on our list. Let's take a look real quick. So that was Dark Matter. Okay. Kind of wrapping up.
Yeah. You'd mentioned about it. I'd like to just have you chime in a little bit. I believe we're up through the finale of Twin Peaks.
We are.
And I'm not sure if you want to just discuss it overall as a whole arc or just the individual episodes, but either way, I've already read my own spoiler warning, so I'm ready for it. So whatever you'd like to talk about, go for it.
Okay, I think that the only proper way for me to talk about this is to talk about it backwards.
I'll stand on my head. Go ahead. Yes.
No. Let's put it this way. Anyone who is expecting this season or the or whatever you want to call this, the miniseries, the event, to end in a conventional fashion, no. It simply wasn't going to happen. The main storylines that were introduced this season have effectively been resolved, but it does actually leave with a bit of an open-ended ending. There are certain ways to interpret it that really are quite dark. I kind of mentioned those in my review that I posted on VogNetwork.com. Go on over, take a look. But I will say that it leaves the door open, and even David Lynch has left the door open to the possibility of a future season. So it's not a definitive ending, though it could be a definitive ending. Do I think that it was really good? I think that the last third of this season really nailed it. There were a lot of things that didn't make sense early on that were wrapped up. I think that if you look at it from that perspective, it is a successful extension. I think, though, that it introduces a lot of metaphysical sides to it that are more in keeping with David Lynch's movie work of late than necessarily Twin Peaks as a whole. But to be honest with you, it's not anything that's quote-unquote alien to Twin Peaks. I think that it just takes it and runs with it. And I was pretty satisfied with it. I would be happy for more. But if this turned out to be the end, I think that it is an ending that is very David Lynch. I can't say that it hasn't been controversial. That's for sure. And there are some things I wish got a more firm ending to them. But I think that if I were to go back and rewatch the third season over again, there's more answers than people think there are to what happened in the third season and in the series as a whole. And I think that it holds together a lot better than people think it does. And it was definitely a pretty strong and consistent narrative. The biggest problem for me is that while we can talk about a fourth season all we want to, I don't think the ratings were extremely good for Showtime. I don't know what the streaming numbers were like, but the live viewing numbers were really low. So I don't know if they would come back for a fourth season. Then again, it was a huge boost in terms of reputation. And Showtime has always been seen as kind of that also-ran network. So maybe they would come back for a third or a fourth season. You never know. But it's going to be years if we ever see another Twin Peaks thing again. I think actually we might be more likely to see a film. But so many of the people that were involved in the third season have now passed. I mean, literally just days ago, Harry Dean Stanton passed. And he was maybe an incidental character, but he was still part of it. And there are just so many characters that where the actor passed soon after this season was filmed. I really don't know that Lynch would... I think he'd want to play in that universe again, but I think he'd find it hard to do without some of those people involved. Albert in particular, you know, Miguel Ferrer, he would be very missed. But no, I'm glad that Twin Peaks came back. I mean, there are some people who said, well, you know, was it worth it? Yeah, absolutely. It's always fun to play in that sandbox and to watch it. I miss it. And it's only been a few weeks, and it's still like, wow, I really miss that being on my TV screen. So, now granted, there's almost nothing on right now, but I still feel like it was something that no one else was really doing anything like that right now. So, now, Gary, I'm curious, you know, you talked about Dark Matter. What was your thought about the way that the third season of Killjoys ended?
Oh, gosh, in some ways, it almost didn't feel like it ended. It just kept, you know, getting, you know, ratcheting up in excitement and stakes and Anila. I keep wanting to say Anara, but it's Anila. I really enjoyed finding out her, you know, getting her whole backstory and, you know, and seeing her and Dutch actually working together is quite odd. But at the same time, I think it's really cool that they're doing that. I love the direction. Yeah, I always get the sense that even though I don't know what it is, that this show is driving to a certain point and they're really working everything to get there. And I can appreciate that as a viewer, that I'm not being taunted, teased, or just drug along so much as there's a point down that road and they're taking me on that street to get there. And I think it makes the whole viewing experience much more satisfying.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they're driving somewhere. I don't always know where it is, but I'm happy to be on the road with them. That's for sure. You know, Dutch and Anila, the way that's all playing out, it's unexpected. And yeah, the way that they left things at the end of the third season. Now, if that had been the end of that show...
Oh, yeah. Then you would have had the riots, yes. Yeah, then you would have had to sign the signatures and get everything up to date, yeah.
I might understand how the Dark Matter people feel, but... Yeah. Just to get into some of the comments that are out there, Edmund gave the penultimate episode of the season, Reckoning Ball. He gave it an 8.5, saying, plots within counterplots, not quite Inception-level dream memory mining, but some nicely done intrigue. Ditto John's more verbal fencing match with I can't remember how she says her name. The pregnant lady. She hasn't been... My favorite character of the season, swinging between bug-eyed confusion to smug arrogance, but did sell her supposed ambivalence well here. Reckoning Day was a good organic means of paying out various relationships as a prelude to the big battle, and of course, being twins of a sort finally has fatal consequences. Quite a wrench to throw into their preparations for war. And finally, there was the finale, Wargasm. Nice name. Edmund gave that a 9, saying, opening gathering in the woods felt like a Dragon Con party. May have just been timing or pining, take your pick. Then there was the Last Supper tableau. Oh boy. Uh-oh. Still hate the credits, especially with that setup, but at least it's short. Love the episode title, even if we never see it on screen. Liked the way they brought the factions together, along with the Hullen lore and tech, to face a new enemy. obviously helped by knowing we will get to see that. Good decision not to go too Orphan Black with the dual role. Hannah John Kamen is no Tatiana. Plus, they really are two sides of a coin, so keeping them distinct makes sense. Finally, I see the renewal and Dark Matter canceled as Lavretta's Revenge. I read up a bit more on her departure from Lost Girl. It wasn't bad blood. At the time, she preferred creating shows and worlds to the grind of showrunning. So, she left Lost Girl to Jay Firestone and moved on to Secret Circle and then Killjoys. She never badmouths any of her former colleagues, but reading between the lines, I think seeing where Lost Girl wound up made her decide it's a good idea to stick around and make sure this show stays true to her vision. And given the fate of Killjoys versus Firestone and Lazzi's show, it looks like she was right. Whenever one thinks of the machinations with the Hullen and Klein, Killjoys has always had better drawn characters and a clearer sense of the world being built around them than its Friday night comrade. I've seen comments that Dark Matter was getting there by the end of the season, but too often the twists felt random, intended for shock value, not born of a clear backstory. Sorry, Dark Matter, too little, too late. Time to sit back and await a kick-ass double act, plus friends with benefits.
Well said, and I think he summarized Dark Matter very well. Yeah, they were rather rudderless, yes.
That was my main problem with it, is it just felt like I never had a sense of where the story was going, and the characters, for that matter, never really made sense where they were going either. But we're repeating our criticisms of Dark Matter.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and talk about, as you said, you're kind of catching up on it, but you have seen some of the shows, I think, of Last Ship.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm not well-versed enough to speak on it, but yeah, go ahead.
I think that it's, for me at least, it's picking up speed as we get into the season. I think that the early part was a rough go. Way too tied to its inspirational material, The Odyssey. But I feel like the last episode or two that I've seen post-Dragon Con have actually been pretty solid now that they seem to be moving on from their setup phase. So I'm pretty happy with it. It's not one of the best shows of the week right now, but I'm happy that it's back. And we know there's a fifth season, so this we can kind of be patient. Edmund says here about The Last Ship, finally playing catch up with this show, and I see the writers have been watching The Night Manager. Seriously, breaking into the office was almost shot for shot. That said, glad to have the gang back together. Mediterranean Fight Club worked well to illustrate how nihilistic some people get in the wake of the apocalypse, but it was wearing thin. It definitely points Doc for having Adam Baldwin fall for the "she's a damsel in distress, not one of the ruthless heads of the organization" trope. Well put, Edmund. Alright, well, quite frankly, the only other shows to talk about are Game of Thrones and Fear the Walking Dead, so I'm going to talk very briefly about Fear the Walking Dead. I have not been a fan of the third season of this show. Those who may be listening to this who came to Dragon Con, by the way, thanks for listening. Thanks for adding us to your list. You know, based on my panel there, I did not like the first half of the third season of Fear the Walking Dead. I feel like this show lost a lot of its momentum. It really didn't feel like it knew where it was going. The only thing it really had going for it was Maddie and the way that her character is becoming darker and more draconian and pragmatic with survival. So I am happy to say that that's what they're building on right now. So the two episodes that they came back with, Minotaur and The Diviner, an improvement over the first half of the season. I'm actually enjoying watching the show right now. But given the first half of the season, they're going to have to prove to me that they're on the swing back up and that this is not just a momentary blip and that it's going to go back into mediocrity. It's still not delivering what I'm looking for from this franchise. They've got to step up with the characters. They've got to step up with the plot. Right now, it is just treading water in a lot of ways, but the characters made a lot of movement forward for me in the mid-season return, so I'm hoping they can do so again. All right, that brings us to the final show to talk about here, and that is Game of Thrones, the seventh season finale. And Gary, what are your opening thoughts on this? It was a big episode.
It ended up about where I expected it to end up, I'd have to say. We see the different fiefdoms, you know, the different kingdoms, so to speak, coming together. We see a much more, I guess I'll say that, a more well-defined threat. We knew they existed, but We never knew what the White Walkers were going to do. Were they perfectly happy to stay on that side of the wall and just rule that area, or did they have higher ambitions? And we obviously see they did. I know you and I were weeks ago now, we're talking about this whole the wall and what it was and how defended it was and things like that. And I was like, oh, okay. I remember the when the Wildings were attacking and they were pulling out all the stops with wall defenses. We never got really to see any type of battle along those lines because the undead dragon decided to just destroy the wall for all intents and purposes. And that so we didn't get to see that level of fighting. It just definitely reinforced how strong having a dragon is. And we thought the fight when Daenerys was taking on the Lannister armies was awesome and inspiring and really put us in fear of what a dragon's capable of doing, this one ramped it up several orders of magnitude past any awe we had before, seeing them take down the wall and realizing that the wall is as not as some people thought was a mountain range that just happened to be covered, but it was an actual construct to keep these people out. So, that we see the wall fall and the Seven Kingdoms will never be the same again. So that was nice. I will just briefly talk about the, is there a diplomatic way to say
about yes. that? I think that it's one of those things that you mentioned is that a lot of what happened in this episode was fairly predictable.
Oh, yeah.
We saw a lot of it coming, and that was mildly disappointing. Not in a huge way, but,
Well, John, from the beginning, they said winter was coming. It was one of the first lines in season one. So at least we had a sense that things were going to be...
Winter's coming, finally.
Yeah, but this is, I think they've... If they didn't bring it to this point, John, I think people would have felt that all of a sudden we have red herrings all over the place and that they weren't staying true to what they should because, it had to get to this point. It's been leading to it for seasons. There's really nowhere else for this to go. So
I think it's more what I meant is that a lot of what happened in this finale, like last year, one of the things that was really quite exceptional about the finale is that there were so many things that happened that nobody saw coming. This time around, it felt like a lot was pretty well laid out to the point where you kind of knew what was going to happen. Like, for instance, once they had the dragon, they were, I know that it was mentioned in a couple different places, and we mentioned it and talked about it too, was that, well, that's probably how they're going to knock the wall down. And there it goes.
Yeah.
It's been predicted long time that, Jon is really... Rhaegar and Lyanna's son. Boy, did they drag that out. And not a big surprise that it was revealed that, yep, that's the case, right around the time that he and Daenerys finally knocked boots. It wasn't a bad thing necessarily, because I still gave it a pretty high score, but it did feel like there was a lot that happened that, it's like, maybe, like you said, we're so far in that even on the detailed end of things, there's just nowhere else for it to go. It has to go here, or otherwise it's just never going to end.
Yeah. Well, John, there is some satisfaction to the point that, that we're getting to the point where they promised, and there's that sort of fulfillment, aspect that, everything's falling into place the way that it needed to, because otherwise they would have, as I said, been lying or misdirecting us so intentionally. So, I think there is something to be said for, maybe not the finish line exactly, but, reaching this waypoint where things are what we expected to.
Yeah. Now, what did you think about the whole deal with the Lannisters? Like, Cersei getting to the point where she actually threatens Jaime. And it almost seems like for a moment there that she was going to order to have him killed.
We've seen her anger many times, and she is a very spiteful person, as we've had exemplified often. I don't know that it would have come to that, but that just shows how, and I think Jaime is as well, as realizes that she is not the leader for the kingdoms. I think at this point, whether he will actively do it or just subtly participate, he does not want her to be queen. Maybe he wants a quieter life. I don't know. Not that she would settle for less, but he realizes that she is not the right person to lead it. He has enough of a moral compass left that he realizes that someone else should be ruling, because she is not of that caliber to do it. you know, you might say that their father was might have been, but had a very harsh hand, but at the same time was, you know, was material to do that. But she definitely is not. And it's not because she's female. It's just I think a weakness of her as a, you know, her character in general. And so I think I will not be surprised if we see him definitely backing someone else, either overtly or subtly.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he does kind of hint to that whole idea. It's like, haven't we lost enough to the point where why don't we just let somebody else have this? Because is it really worth it? I think she's too far gone to even see that. That was probably one of the I say there were a whole lot of surprises, and then I say this that was a little bit surprising to me that she would go that far. I thought that of all people, that was the one person she would never really turn on, and that he would never be able to turn his back on her to that degree. I really felt like they'd go so far to the end that it would be, I think I've mentioned to a few times that I was convinced that it would be a murder-suicide type situation. That's where the tragedy felt like it was starting to point. But could they go there still? Maybe, but I have a feeling he's going to turn on her now.
I was going to say my pet theory, and with no background to do it, that he will end up killing her. That is my guess.
Yeah.
And become yet, you know, in a sense, the Kingslayer another time.
Well, that's what I always thought, was that he would end up feeling like he had to do it, and that would destroy his world so much that he'd end up killing himself afterward. But if they have him breach the loyalty so much that he goes and... Okay, here's where they could put things, and this would be so absurd. The love triangle between Jaime, Tormund, and Brienne. I almost see them maybe flirting with that slightly. But, yeah, I think that he's not going to end well. And certainly Cersei's not going to.
Yes.
What did you think about the way things ended up with Littlefinger and all of that?
I'll admit it took me by surprise. I thought he had legitimately hoodwinked, as we wanted to generally assess Arya as still naive in the ways of spycraft, or, you know, subtlety, or whatever, however you'd like to refer to it. But obviously they're not. And to me, it really strengthened the bonds between the sisters that they wouldn't allow just a simple petty thing to necessarily destroy their lives with each other, especially since they just found each other again. You would think that bond would be stronger than ever, and obviously it was. So it definitely makes me think Arya, you know, is definitely ramps up in experience points, as, you know, to use a D&D analogy, that she's really leveled up much more than maybe even we realize at this time, that she was able to take on such a grand master of the game and beat him. So I was quite impressed that they figured out what he was doing and had a perfect plan in place to deal with him. More importantly, they didn't give him a chance to talk his way out of it or just be exiled. It was done with quickly, as it would have to be. Otherwise, he would slip through just about anyone's fingers. So I felt the decisiveness of the solution was shocking as well, but definitely necessary.
I think for me, it was definitely, I liked seeing him finally come to an end and get what he had coming to him. I just felt like it was very clunky. I think there were better, more subtle ways that they could have handled him. And the whole idea that they've been playing him all along didn't quite add up with the way that the other scenes had played before. So I don't know that the...
I didn't get the sense that they were playing him all along. It almost seemed like they'd come to the realization or confronted each other and resolved to do that. But I don't think he – at least I never felt like they figured it out from the first step.
I think that maybe that's part of the problem, that they – that they left it so – sorry for the –
Boy, John, you were just awesome with sound effects there, by the way.
Are I, though?
Yeah.
Yes, we one of our kitty cats in the house is now got new owners, so I believe that the other two are wondering where he went. Anyway, aside, done. I think that it's just that because they left it so open-ended or so in doubt how the whole thing played out with the sisters and when they knew what they did and when they planned things together, that it just makes it hard to figure out exactly what their plan was and when it went into effect. It just, it was a little sloppy. I think that they could have done that a little more definitively, and I think it would have played better had it not been public, because I think that it kind of glosses over the fact that, you know, there was all this whole complication of, if we get rid of Littlefinger, we're going to lose the Vale, but the Vale didn't really object at all. So, boy, that was quick and easy.
Yeah. That was just surprising. Yeah.
That's just maybe a little bit of the weaker part of the episode. Okay, so any other thoughts on the Targaryens and what happened with them? In the family, I guess? Even if you don't know it's your family.
So he's the uncle?
He's the nephew, but because of the marriage, he is actually the more legitimate heir.
For the Targaryen line, then yes. Daenerys, yes.
Yes.
I don't know. I personally don't care for the confluence of it. I know it's been hinted at and known for a while, and you know, in other sources. But that's all to me. In some ways, that's almost tying it up too neatly. So we'll have to see. I would have preferred a more messy type of ascension issue. But it's not horrible. It's just it's a little too neat. Not that it'll be neat necessarily, because I don't think Daenerys is going to want to easily give anything up, but it just dovetailed a little too cleanly for me with that.
With only 6 episodes next season.
Well, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not saying they could run, that they really have the time to run with it, but I'm just saying it's almost too neat a bow on it is on the situation. It's not quite corny might not be the right word, but it definitely is a little hokey.
Mm-hmm. It does seem a little contrived for there to be this supposed tension, because she is so insistent that she is the heir, but I don't know how she would react to the fact that he's family. It certainly wouldn't change her mind about being together, because that's not how things work with the Targaryens, but I don't know that she would have the objections, and if this were still playing out at the pacing of the original seasons, the earlier seasons rather, it would probably be more of an issue. But like I said, with 6 episodes left, they might spend one episode wondering if this was going to be a problem. And they really need to resolve it and move on, because there's a lot to still do. Even if they're hour and a half episodes, like people are thinking that they might be, which is basically the biggest cheat of saying, oh, there's only 6 episodes left. Yes, but it's like 9 episodes of material. So... anyway, yes, let's see. The last thing is, and this probably was the one thing I wasn't really expecting to have happen, and it was so just quick, was Theon becoming a bit of a leader.
Yeah, that did come out of nowhere. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that, because there's been a few different times where he's been presented with that and he's run. Literally in some cases, where you'd see him, he had that thought sort of in his head or on the tip of his tongue, and he's just sitting there for a second, and he's there, and he just says sort of like, oh, I can't do that. No, I can't handle that. And chooses the other way. So this was the first time where he chose that way. But I think he's had that sort of option presented to him several times already, you know, from the first time had the chance to leave the prison he was in, you know. And then, you know, as late as the when his sister was taken and he jumps in, he keeps being presented with this choice to step up, and he's finally taking it after several times of not being able to. Maybe, you know, as he keeps seeing that door he's got to walk through, it finally he finally realizes he's able to do it, or gathers up the strength to do it. But I think I can't say it's coming from nowhere. He's constantly presented with that choice.
Hmm. Yeah, it just seemed like, oh, I'm going to actually step up right now. And then everybody basically saying, oh, yeah, okay, now that you've stepped up, we'll follow you.
Yeah, there was no trigger for it. Like, if they could have somehow implied that the love of his sister is causing him to finally, you know, to save his sister, he's going to rise up and do this or something along those lines. But, you know, they never got any sort of motivation across for that choice to, you know, to change.
Yeah, it just seemed to happen fast because it needs to happen at this point in the story. So, again, we're getting essentially 10 episodes worth or close to the 10 episodes worth of material, even if it's packaged in 6 episodes. So that's if the rumor that they're going to be longer episodes actually takes hold. Mm-hmm. So I guess there'll be more time to get into things than we thought. Okay, so any other last thoughts on the season finale of Game of Thrones?
Did Tormund survive? You know, inquiring minds want to know. I would hope so. Well, no one's ever safe on the show, John, but at the same time, if they didn't give him a grueling death, then it's always possible.
That's true.
So there's hope, but I know that was one of the big things. Oh my gosh, did he survive? As you said, I certainly hope to see him next season. So we will have to see, even though next season is actually 2 years away.
That's what the rumor is. 18 to 24 months. Are they trying to space it out like George R. R. Martin does the novels?
We will not release the next season until the book comes out.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Well, you know, after they've pulled this with us on several other shows over the years, BSG most notably, I guess I can say my skin is a little thick. But at the same time, you know, given the zeitgeist around this show and how popular it is, the decision to stretch it out quite that far, you know, inevitably ends up with people falling out of love with it, losing interest to some degree, and you know, it just doesn't end the series strong. It almost feels like it gets, you know, a little bit gets, you know, sucked out of the strength of it, and it starts to go out with a bit more of a whimper than a chest pounding, for lack of a better term.
That being said, this season came in late, but the ratings went up.
Yes. So perhaps I'll be wrong, and perhaps this is unique, but, you know, typically when they do that, you know, I remember Battlestar Galactica never quite came back from that.
That's true.
That peak bubble, because they held off for so long, and then they started doing that with other shows as well, at least sci-fi did, and it just totally took the wind out, and I have to imagine it affected the ratings. So I hope with this year plus hiatus will be more of a year and a half, or more of a year plus than a year than a 2 year plus type of scenario.
The only thing that I think might mitigate the issue is the fact that it is the last season, that this has been a long-awaited conclusion, and they can milk that for all they're worth, and I think that that'll kind of help keep things going. But yeah, it's a little bit long to have to wait. If they really wanted to do this, they could have just found a way to film all the episodes now and held them off for another year or something, but at any rate. Henry had some comments on the finale. He gave it an 8.5, and he says, Season 7 has accelerated so many of the plot points left off from George R. R. Martin's novels that it's hard to believe these days that the show is even connected to the source material. That's both a good and bad thing. Good because the breadth and scope of the story has expanded to ever larger territory that one wonders how Martin will cover it all in the remaining two novels that he has to write and publish. Bad because that expansion of story has been constrained by the time limits put on the show itself. Agreed. That's been one of our biggest issues with the seventh season. Too much in too few episodes. Edmund gave it a 9, saying, Dragon Pit Summit was fun in terms of bringing so many far-flung characters back together at last. But it did feel like the single-scene version of the check-in episodes, flitting from pairing to pairing to deliver a good line or two, then moving on. I wish the lead-up to the Littlefinger ambush hadn't been so clumsy. Having the sisters set up scenes feel so out of character and out of kilter with the journeys of growth they've both been on telegraphed that either the writers were clueless or there was a long con going on. Glad it was the latter, but Littlefinger deserved a better played deception. And the fall of the wall is a stunning set piece. Inexorable and inevitable, ever since that blue eye opened, I'm still a bit annoyed at the cliffhanger. Yes, intended, games with Tormund and Beric. Capping the season with one or both looking down on the advancing hordes would have had much more emotional impact. Or resonance, rather. I say this assuming at least one has a role to play next season, but even showing both their broken bodies in the rubble would have hammered home the sacrifices that are just beginning as the final war begins. So echoing quite a few of the things that we had to say. But anyway, any last thoughts on this week or the last 3 weeks worth of content we just talked about?
The brevity of it, meaning, you know, we don't have that much to go through, sort of surprises me. I thought we would be a little bit more deep at this point, as we're, you know, I I didn't think that a summer season still existed, but obviously it is because we're a little slow right now, so it's not going to pick up that much. That, and as we're going through the shows coming up, I miss the fact that we're not seeing more shows sort of step up in the fall the way that they always used to. So it's just a change I have to get accustomed to.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing that the shows are largely debuting in October now, which is completing a long march that we started to see a little while ago. But more than that, I mean, even the October to December stretch is not sparse per se, but as we mentioned last episode, it's a little less packed than we had been starting to get used to. So we'll see if that how that changes things for us, although I think that we're pretty comfortable with the way that we're handling things right now. It gives us all a variety that we enjoy. So if that's it, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up for this time around. And as I said earlier in this episode, we will be back in 2 weeks once I return back to the country to get into the discussion on, well, certainly Star Trek Discovery. So until then.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google Plus under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as fair use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the critical myth.